some glad morning when this life is over. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, no glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
That was a nice upbeat song. I'll Fly Away, Alan Jackson. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan. And this, well, let me get this over so you could see it. Part one. We're going to part two. So let me scroll down to part two. And I am at part two. There we go. I'm looking at the structure of the Bible. The book of Revelation. So that it is easy to understand, that it's not confusing. It's not, how does this connect with that, you know? So it's different, folks. It's different. I don't add or take anything away from the book of Revelation. It's just showing a structure in it that's not, I hate to use the word normal. It's not the norm. That sounds better. But definitely, it's the way it's structured. So I hope that it's a great blessing. Now, we're into part two. I did spend a tremendous amount of time today on it, although I had to do some other things, and I didn't finish it. So I will have it all finished for tomorrow night when I'm going to teach it, and we'll see how it goes tonight, how much I teach tonight, and if necessary, I'll finish it tomorrow, because this is all kind of new ground that I'm teaching. So when I come back from teaching at Word of Life, if depending upon how things go here and now tonight, I will teach it again so you get the full picture of it. That's just my thought on it. So we're into part two, understanding Revelation. And let's see, I should have, this is all fresh the way they let it out. Structure of the book, the six comings of Jesus Christ. Now, well, come on. This, folks, you wouldn't believe the battle I had for the show tonight with my PowerPoint presentation. It froze up on me, locked up. I couldn't do anything with it, and it was just kind of prior to the show, and I had to reboot, and I was hoping that everything I copy regular when I'm doing it, so I was hoping that everything was copied and I didn't lose anything, but PowerPoint lock solid frozen. Now I'm a little off kilter here. And let me just say hello, because I'm raring to get going into this structured part of the Book of Revelation. And I may have alluded to it when I was teaching it here, but this is a clear teaching laid out that you could see how it's structured with the comings of Christ. So, Paula Jean, hello. Glad you're here, Paula Jean.
Good evening. I was just logging on, and so you might hear some of your channel in the background.
No.
They give me those ads. Just a minute.
No, it's all, it's being, you're being muted now.
I'm okay now.
Yeah, well, you're being muted now anyways. I can just call to say hello. And then there's Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, hello, Chaplain John. And I am very happy to be here and grateful to be here.
Well,
and I'd like to thank Kathy for helping me with the prayer time this morning.
Oh, I forgot all about it. Yes.
Yeah, I was not with it at all this morning. You know, so I'm very happy for that she just really came and took over for us, and we had a good prayer time.
Oh, all right. That's what I'm glad to hear. And we'll talk more after the show here. And Sister Kathy, a good report about this morning. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we had some business to take care of, that's for sure.
What type of business?
Heavy prayer.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
People called in for prayer?
No, just the climate and the situation and you and praising for all that took place. We just had some business to see about for the king. The king's business requires haste.
Okay. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes, we are here. Blessings to you and everyone.
Okay. And then Paula Jean and her cat or dog, one of the two.
You mean
not,
Rita?
Not Paula Jean, Rita. How did I get Paula Jean? I just spoke to Paula Jean.
I don't know. Yeah, my spoiled cat is laying next to me. And so, good evening, Chaplain John, and hello to everyone.
Okay. So I'm getting, I get Sister Kathy and Sharon, I interchange your names. Now I'm interchanging Rita and Paula Jean. Okay.
Well, we'll correct you.
All right. Thank you. And
well, Chaplain, when I was away and Rita came on, you know, she sounded so much like me, people had to adjust to her being Rita. And then when I came back on, everybody was always talking about now, who's who, you know, who's talking.
Okay.
So all right. You have an excuse. We sound similar.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You gave me an out. Thank you.
Yeah. So, bye.
Okay. All right. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight that we can get together with your word. We thank you, Lord, that you, the Book of Revelation is a blessing. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, Lord, we claim the blessing of the Book of Revelation. Lord, it can be confusing, somewhat confusing when you're looking at it, Lord, and don't understand like the pattern that you have. So I'm praying now that is this pattern, well, we covered part one last week. Now we're in part two. As this pattern is revealed, it'll become easy, Lord, very easy to understand the Book of Revelation. So thank you, because we want this book to be a blessing to all the readers, because that's what it says it is, a blessing. And what your word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And whatever I do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if we have time, Jamil sent me his YouTube video of the presentation in Pakistan. He's going to redo parts of it. There was a lot of background noise and the people speaking in Urdu that he has to translate and tell us what they were. But anyways, I'd like to kind of go through it maybe after the show and we can see, watch it, and you can like be there and see what happened two Saturdays ago. All right. Here we go now. I am on, part two. Now, it sounds funny. When I was writing, when I was assembling this, I couldn't get around. I'm saying six comings of Jesus Christ. Of course, there's the rapture, but the coming, like his, I guess you would call it his coming to the world. It's only one. And he's coming to Israel, Jerusalem specifically. And I'm saying there's six coming. So it's only one coming in the book of Revelations, but there's six. Now I even forgot the word I used to try and describe it. So when I say six comings of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about six individual comings. I'm talking about within the book of Revelation, there's laid out six comings, which are all related to his coming. So it's like God is showing us things and then a second coming of Christ. He shows us more things than a second coming of Christ and more things. And let me get to that spot and then I'll explain to you about why there's six comings. But it does sound odd and I couldn't write my way out of that. All right. We already covered Revelation 1:3, the blessings associated with reading and hearing, and I'm sure that's including teaching. I'm always teaching with a sort of an overall understanding of Revelation and how it flows. Now, the key, and I'll be covering it tonight, is Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. However, next week I'll be using the sixth seal again from a different perspective to show the exact spot in the book of Revelation where it begins, tribulation begins. And the sixth seal is critical to that. So that'll be next week. All right. So now we're the second comings of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. So within the book of Revelation, there are found six second comings. There is only one actual second coming, but positioned within Revelation are six comings that each one has a teaching aspect. I think I explained that. They also offer our edification. So when you see the positions of the second comings, and I sort of make this connection for you, you go, oh, I see. Yeah, I see how God's using them there throughout the book. This shows the book is not in chronological order, but rather structured as a puzzle to be fit together. The actual second coming is found starting at Revelation 19:11. The key to understanding this book is realizing that chapter 6, the sixth seal, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, here are the six second comings follows. These are the scriptures that show the second coming of Jesus Christ within the book of Revelation. So Revelation 6, 12 through 17 is the sixth seal. Now, this is, I'll get more detail about Revelation chapter 10. That's the seven thunders. And there is a, there's a nice little teaching involved in this, because I basically ignored the seven thunders, Revelation chapter 10, because John was told not to write what he heard. So I don't want to get into speculating that he could have heard this or heard that. Or, I mean, the Bible says he's not, the seven thunders are judgment, but John was not to write what he heard. So why argue with that? So Revelation chapter 10 is, I don't go into great detail on it. Then Revelation chapter 11 is the seventh trumpet. That is the second coming. And actually, Revelation is a clear connection between Revelation 10:7 and Revelation 11:15 through 19. And when I get there, I'll show you that connection. And I never saw that connection, folks, till this week. Last week. And it's right there. It's right there staring at me. And just because I'm not really interested, I think, that much in Revelation 10 that I see it. Revelation 14. That's the second coming of Christ. And that has to do, that comes after the warning not to take the mark of the beast. Revelation 16, 6 through 21 is the seventh bowl, or in the King James, it's called vile judgment. And then Revelation 19, 11 through 20 is the actual second coming of Jesus Christ. So there, in the book of Revelation is his, the sixth coming, with the final, with the reality one. Again, it's hard for me to put words to this, is the last one, Revelation 19, verse 11, immediately following the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heaven opens and Jesus comes out. So that is his second coming. All right, so let's look at the seal judgment. And what's really important in this is the setting of the sixth seal. Now, there's five prior seals, and it starts with the white horse. There's four horsemen, and then there's the fifth seal with those saints of the Lord that have been murdered. Actually, it's more, I'm going to say butchered, the description of it, and they're under the altar. And then we get the sixth seal. So what's very important, and I'm going to show it in other places also, is we know from what I've taught in the scripture that the fifth seal, when it talks about the people wanting their blood avenged, and when it is avenged, that's mid-tribulation. That's when Babylon is destroyed. And Babylon has shed the blood of those that are under the altar. And God's told them to wait a little season until those that were, in other words, God wants everyone that was killed by the Babylonian system to be resurrected together. So they're placed under the altar waiting for that judgment on Babylon. That's mid-tribulation, folks. The first four seals do not span the book of the tribulation period. The fifth seal is not the way people are killed in the second half of the tribulation period. That is strictly the first half. So the fifth seal ends at the mid-tribulation. And then the sixth seal is Christ coming, which we're going to look at now. God stops at mid-tribulation. He doesn't go into the second half of the tribulation period. He goes right from mid-tribulation to Christ coming. And I believe that there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, I think it's for edification, that you look at that and you see that Christ is coming in judgment. And this whole mess is going to be dealt with. The second half of the tribulation, the cities of the world, everything is going to be dealt with. And there's going to be a new earth. Just like at Noah's day, there was, when Noah came out of the ark, the world was completely different than when he went into the ark. Well, the world is going to be completely different after the second coming of Jesus Christ compared to the way it was before. So the sixth seal is to show that all this wickedness is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's why I believe the sixth seal is placed there with the judgment in it of Christ coming. It's like when you look at it, you'll say all this stuff that happened prior to it, all that's happening in the second half of the tribulation, the sixth seal is putting an end to it. It's Christ coming, and he's going to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we have to look at. Christ coming to judge the wickedness and put an end to it on earth. That's what the sixth seal is telling us. So let's look at it now. And what I did was I tied in Matthew 24, when appropriate, to the sixth seal, the sixth seal judgment. But also I went back to Isaiah. I wanted to show you that Matthew, the Lord's quoting Matthew. In Matthew 24, it's called the Olivet Discourse. The Lord is quoting from Isaiah chapter 13. So I wanted to show you the sixth seal, Matthew 24, which is directly related to the sixth seal, and Isaiah 13, which is Matthew is connected to. So here we go. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now I'm going to stop here, and I want to go back to the panel here, and gonna unmute everyone, and just I'll just go in order so it's not confusing. Paula Jean, what I just laid out, were you able to understand that, or do you need some more detail?
No, I'm fine. I'm taking my notes and putting it down so that I will be able to do my study later.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Sister Sharon, were you able to follow me on that, or do you need more detail?
No, I'm able to follow you on that with the sixth seal and everything that happened and related to that. I've always been interested in the sixth seal.
Yeah, there you go. Sister Kathy, were you able to follow what I'm saying, or do you need more detail?
Well, I was able to follow it, but I'm curious what more details there would be.
No. Detail of what I just told you. Do you need more detail about, need more of an explanation?
Okay. I'm going to say no. Maybe Rita might, and then we'll all hear that.
All right. Sister Gigi? Yeah, Gigi? All right. Rita, are you able to follow along with me?
Yes, I was able to follow.
Okay.
You didn't lose me yet.
All right. Well, I want to go slow because this is a little bit foreign to. I've taught some of this as we've gone along, but now I'm consolidating it into the actual structure of it. Remember last week, mid-tribulation, how that's a whole teaching in itself about everything that happened mid-tribulation. Okay, so now we're at Revelation 12. Let me say it again. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her timely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, I have more. When we get to the sixth vial and the seventh, the seven vials in chapter 16, the seventh one and Revelation 6, the sixth seal, it's the same event, same physical event. I'll spend time there in the seventh bowl judgments to show you that they're the same event. All right, verse Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of heavens shall be shaken. So you could see here where there's a connection between Matthew 24:29 and the sixth seal, although Matthew doesn't go into a tremendous earthquake, but it's the same. Now we're going to take a look at Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened from his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So this is all events that are happening right around the second coming of Jesus Christ. So now we get to Revelation 6:14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So now this is the sixth seal, and we're at another level. And the heaven departed. Now, the Greek on departed is to rend apart. So the heaven is like, the heavens there are rent apart from the connection with us. It's just tore right away. And it's violent. Rend apart, it gives you a violent image. So the heavens were rend apart as a scroll when it is rolled together. Now the scroll rolled together means to coil or wrap. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So not the action in the heavens where the heaven departs. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, if people that are alive at that time, and we'll say they're looking up, and heaven departed as a scroll, what do they see? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, if heaven is departing from where we are on earth, what is between earth and the heaven that's disappearing? So the whole like universe there is being rent away from the earth. And it is rolled together. So the way you roll up a scroll, and you roll it up, that's what God's doing to, I'm going to say the universe. So it's like the earth is sort of there by itself now. So I don't know what people will see or won't see, but it's departs. So people would actually see, the planets and the stars and all of a sudden they just like disappear. I guess maybe it's just plain darkness. That's what they might see, is just plain darkness. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So here in America, the Rocky Mountains are going to be moved out of their places. And when the mountains here are moved out of their places, we're going to see from Revelation 16, they collapse. The mountains are going to collapse from the powerful shaking. So they're going to be moved out of their places, and the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard at this time. And this gigantic earthquake is occurring, and the mountains are actually going to collapse, and the islands are going to disappear. I mean, that's not like having a weekend thunderstorm or something. I mean, this is incredible. The universe is gone. The mountains are moved out of their places. To me, I see that as like bouncing up and down. It's like the foundation of the Rocky Mountains is cut from broken, and the mountains are now bouncing up and down from this the shock waves of this tremendous earthquake, and the islands are just destroyed. They disappear. They're shattered. This is the mental image that we have now of what's going on. Now, this is what Luke says, Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking upon those things which are coming on the earth. Now, look at this. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So that's another picture like Matthew and Isaiah. The universe is going to be shaking over this. The powers of heaven, that's really the universe. Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Remember, the mountains have collapsed. So they're going into these dens and caves for a reason. Now, whatever rock formation there they can get in and hide in, that's what it says here. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, verse 16 tells us why. And said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So these people here, well, first let me go back. I want to go back on this. It says here, and the kings of the earth. Those are the kings of the earth in Revelation chapter 17, the 10 kings that give their power to the beast. And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, that's everybody gathered at Armageddon. So this is what Revelation 16:5 is about, is Armageddon, the kings of the earth. There's 10 kings on the earth at this time. And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, this is all, you know, warriors, soldiers. And every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. This is the army that came together in Revelation 19:18 to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ and his army. They see him coming now, and he's coming in great glory. Otherwise, they have to see him coming. Why would they be hiding in the mountains? And the rocks and the dens and the caves, because verse 16 says, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. He's coming in great glory. They see the glory. They see his face. I mean, it's maybe 10, 100 times brighter than the sun. His glory there is, I mean, they can't look upon him, burn their eyes out. The heat of his coming would maybe melt their flesh. And they know it's Jesus Christ. And the reason they know is the two prophets of God there told them what was going to happen. And maybe the 144,000 But we know the two prophets of God did. And now they thought they were tough guys. You could like take the Lord on. Now they're seeing him. Remember, these are the ones that have the mark of the beast on them. And they have, Revelation 16 tells us about all the sores they have on their body. And now they're like face to face with Jesus Christ. And from the wrath of his, and from the wrath of the Lamb. How can this not be the second coming? They're seeing it. They're seeing his coming. And that's why I teach that this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Revelation 17:7. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The scripture even says it's the day of the Lord. The great day of his wrath is come. So I cannot accept anyone that doesn't believe that this is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and they try and teach something else. It's like signs in the heavens. I won't accept it. I won't argue with anyone or get ugly with them. I just, like I told you a week ago or so, I got in a debate with this author there, and he said that this was signs in the heavens. And I said, well, it is signs in the heavens, but it's more than that. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he was trying to, because of his theology and the way he wrote, he couldn't like accept that. And I told it to him. I said, how can this not be the second coming of Jesus Christ? Signs in the heavens. Yeah. Earth is rolled back like a scroll. That's quite a sign. Mountains disappearing, down, coming down, all the islands disappearing, and the people are crying out and saying, hide us from the face of him. They see his coming. How much clearer could it be? In Revelation 17, for the great day of his wrath has come. So this is, in the book of Revelation, the first coming of Jesus Christ, because there are six comings in the book of Revelation. But this is the first one. And looking at it, then let me go to Isaiah 2:19. And they shall go into the holes of the earth and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. So Isaiah writes about it. And of course, Matthew, Mark, and John are writing about it also. But the clearest one here is in Revelation 16 and 17. The sixth seal is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if that's his second coming, that means which follows it can't be connected to it because he's come. In the sixth seal, Jesus Christ has come. So how can 7 and 8 and chapters 9 follow that? They can't, because he's come in the sixth seal. So there's something else going on. This is not chronological. And to get the sixth seal wrong and follow it through the book of Revelation, it's all out of whack. It doesn't make sense. So this is a teaching. The sixth seal is a complete teaching from God that he wants us to understand that all that the terrible things that happened to God's people, it's going to end. There's an end coming to it, and that's at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you have right up to the mid-tribulation with the six seals, then you got Christ coming. And you'll see that in other places, it goes to mid-tribulation and Christ coming. Mid-tribulation and Christ coming. So to me, this is like edifying. He's coming. All that stuff before is going to be dealt with at his second coming. Because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is a revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is a revelation of his coming. So you get this right, now the rest of the book can be understood. But I've said this many, many, many times. The sixth seal is a game changer here. It's make or break. If, and I don't understand why it's not, everybody doesn't teach it and see it. It's the second coming. All right. So there is the revelation there of the sixth seal, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what follows it cannot be a continuation because Christ has returned. So 7, 8, 9, and 10 are different. They're not, it's not chronological. There's other things going on there that we need to grasp to understand what the book of Revelation is teaching us. All right. Paula Jean, are you good with that?
I'm definitely good with it. It'll be interesting to find out your explanation of the other chapters of Revelation when we get to them.
Okay.
But right now, I'm with you. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sister Sharon?
Yes. I'm following along, and I'm waiting for more explanations on the second and third comings.
Okay.
And I think that's going to clear up a lot.
Well, you'll see the pattern developing. You'll see it.
Yes.
Okay. Sister Kathy?
I'm just trying to coast right along with you,
trying
to keep up speed.
Now, Sister Gigi and Randy? Okay. And then Rita?
I'm still with you, Chaplain John.
Okay. Gigi and Randy? All right. And then we have Michael here. Hello, Michael. All right. Michael might be listening. And if anyone has any questions as we're going along here, like Sharon or Kathy, if you could follow in the chat room to see if there are any, please post them in the chat room, and because I want everybody to grasp this. Okay. Now we're looking at the second and third of his comings in the book of Revelation. So we get to chapter 10, and chapter 10 is like an orphan, because John hears the voices of the seven thunders and he's about to write it down, and he's told not to write it down, not to write. He's to write about the seven thunders, but not what they said. Not what they said. So that is a mystery in itself. John heard it, but that's chapter 10 there. He heard it, but he can't write down what he heard. So we come down to verse 6. And swear by him, now this is an angel, that liveth forever and ever, created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein. That are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be, now look at this, time no longer. Time no longer means Christ's second coming. He's putting an end to all of this. But in the days of the voice, now look at this, of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. When I look at this, declared to his servants, the prophets, I believe that that's the two prophets, God's servants, the two prophets of Revelation chapter 11 there. But the seventh angel is to declare that it is finished. So let me read it again, because this is kind of real new ground on Revelation 6:10. Even though it clearly says there, the voice of the seventh angel, because I was so like aloof, I'm going to say, about chapter 10, I never took time to go over and tie it with the seventh angel. It sounds strange, but I never did. I'm confessing now. And I'm just shaking my head how everything that's in the Word of God. So here, at the end of verse 6, there should be time no more. No more time means Christ is coming. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Now remember, the angel, the seventh angel there is the trumpet judgments. The mystery of God should be finished, for he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So now the stage is set that what I see is the seven trumpets are directly connected with the seventh angel. And, well, in fact, let's go over to Revelation 11 now, 15. Mid-tribulation jumps, and then it jumps to Christ's second coming. So the whole chapter 11 is about mid-tribulation until you get down to the end. Chapter 11 is about the call of the two prophets. Chapter 11 is a view of the temple in the tribulation period. Chapter 11 is where the beast is resurrected and kills the two prophets. Chapter 11 is where the two prophets lay on in Jerusalem dead for 3.5 days, and it's where they are resurrected. And it talks about Jerusalem there in chapter 11 also. But the whole chapter, from the beginning to end, is mid-tribulation till you get to verse 15. Remember what happened in the six seals? The fifth seal was mid-tribulation. And then what happened? The sixth seal was Christ coming. It's the same thing here. Chapter 11 is all about mid-tribulation. And you get down to verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and it's Christ coming. It follows along, the pattern follows along with the six seals. There was great voices in heaven. The great voices in heaven, that's the seven thunders, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and they shall reign forever and ever. But the seventh angel is not blowing at mid-tribulation. He's blowing the trumpet at the end. This is about the second coming of Jesus Christ, because it says here, the kingdoms of this world are become, not are becoming or will become, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. These seven thunders are I see them taking place at the same time here. But that's all about the second coming of him. Verse 16. And the 24 elders, which sat before God in their seats, fell upon their faces and worship. Now, this is where I ran into trouble with my PowerPoint. So let me pick up from this spot here, and I'll just have to read the scriptures. Okay, I'm almost there. All right, so I'm there now. Let's go to verse 17. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thanks, we give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and has reigned. That has not happened yet. That's not mid-tribulation. That's at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the nations were angry. That's at his coming. and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. That's it is come. That's later on. That's not mid-tribulation. That they should give us, that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth, all at his second coming. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So I believe that what we're looking at there in Revelation 19, 11, 19, you'll see in the sixth the sixth bowl, vial judgment. So here in the book of Revelation, we see clearly at the end of chapter 11, Christ has come. But he doesn't come in chapter 11. That about his coming is like our edification. Chapter 11 is by itself is overwhelmingly negative. The two prophets are killed. The beast is raised from the dead. The two prophets lay in Jerusalem. The whole world is party time that the two prophets were killed. They see them. It says the whole world sees the two prophets' bodies laying in Jerusalem. It's kind of a downer. Till you get to the end, and Christ is come, and he's reigning and ruling, and the nations are literally destroyed, and he's judging those that destroyed the earth. He's judging, and he's taken the power. He's taken all the power that was man lost to Satan. Now Jesus Christ has. Do you see? That's edification, folks. The seventh trumpet is for our edification when we read it in light of what preceded it. The sixth seal is for our edification in light of what preceded it. So there's the second and third, because Revelation 10, 6 and 7 is about his coming, but it's merged here with this. So where it says voices and thunderings, and all, that's seven thunders, voices. The seven thunders are connected with voices. And that isn't going to take place until Christ comes. So my take on this is the seven thunders are pronouncement to the world. I think they're going to hear probably Jesus Christ's voice, and he's going to proclaim judgment on them. That's what the seven thunders on. So as the trumpet is blowing, the angel is blowing the trumpet there in Revelation chapter 11, 15, at the same time, or maybe just after the trumpet blast stops, these seven thunders are uttered out, and the whole earth is going to hear it. And those seven thunders may kick off the end at Christ's coming. Those seven thunders could be announcing Christ's coming and what's going to take place. That's how I think that fits in. So the thunders, there'll be trumpet. The seventh trumpet is going to blow. The seven thunders are going to connect right in with it. And then the sequence of events will seven thunders may trigger these events that are coming on the earth. Now that's just speculation on my part, but the seven thunders coinciding with the seventh angels, that's not speculation. That's there in the scriptures. So, now that's new territory, which I just taught. Paula Jean, how does that go?
I'm having challenges myself, so it's going to take me to do a little bit more study to see the smooth connection, and so I'm just confessing that.
Okay, hold it right there. Revelation 10, we'll just go, all right, the end of Revelation 10, 6, that there should be time no more, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and if that voice is going to be a trumpet blast, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared his to his servants, the prophets. So right here in Revelation 10, it shows a direct connection with the seventh angel. Do you see that? Okay.
Where my questions came in is when you were talking about Revelation 7 to 10, and then back to 11, 15 to 19.
Yeah, that's the seventh. That's where the seventh angel comes in, Revelation 11, 15 through 19.
Right. Now,
so that's where Revelation 10 connects with the seventh angel, is Revelation 11, 15. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
So in a way, we whisk out Revelation 7 to 10, okay, or 8 to 10. I'm not sure which.
No. Where are you getting 7 and 8 to 10?
Oh, Revelation 10. Yes. 7 to 10.
It's Revelation 10, verses 6 and 7.
Okay, so what happens to the verses after 7?
Well, that's not connected to this.
That's what I'm saying. We pull that out. We don't include that in our studies.
I'm not teaching Revelation.
I had that written down below that you just
what you just do is just read it on your own then. That because it's not, I would include it if it was connected.
Right.
So
no, and, I just, and the I verses just made before, the note to pull it yeah, out, and I wanted okay. to make sure that was right.
Okay.
Because you've right. added in some things that I hadn't had in my notes before. So
okay.
That's right. Why I'm wanting to make sure I'm getting them right.
All right. You're right so far, it looks like. Okay.
Okay.
Sister Sharon, did you understand the connection between Revelation 10, 6 and 7 and the seventh trumpet judgment?
Okay. I understand what you were teaching about all of this, and I've been sitting here rereading it, and I got my big King James open and online and reading from that too, and it's just something that we just have to keep going over until we feel secure.
Okay.
What we're reading.
Well, you see that the Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 is the second coming of Jesus Christ, starting at verse 15. So, but the setting of the chapter, setting of the chapter is mid-tribulation. That's where the beast kills the two prophets. So that second coming of Christ, time-wise, has no connection with the events taking place in chapter 11.
Okay.
Just like in Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, has no connection with the five prior seals. They're all about what's happening to the people during the first half of the tribulation. And then in 6, you've got the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here, in chapter 11, you have all this mid-tribulation action, then you got the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay. I know it's just because the words aren't there as you just said them and everything. We just need to keep rereading and have faith.
Say that. What was the last thing you said?
That we just need to keep reading
right.
and rereading and have faith.
Yeah. Yeah, God's put that in there for a reason. So you have all this stuff about the beast and what he's doing and his empire is, you connect that to Revelation 13 and he's coming to power and all. But right there in the midst of it is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
All right.
And Sister, we come with him.
Sister Kathy?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Twizzle has a question. What happens to the beast declaring himself God the second part of tribulation?
He rules the earth.
Okay.
Yeah, all power, all religious, political, economic power is given to him.
Okay.
And then his kingdom is destroyed at the Lord's second coming.
All right. And that's the only question there.
Okay. Oh, how about you, Sister Kathy? Did you follow me on that?
As best as I could.
Yeah. So, but you see that you see so far the Lord's second coming is in the tribulation period is going on while God has Christ coming there. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So he wants you to see Christ. What I'm emphasizing, all these terrible things are happening, and then he puts the second coming of Christ in to show you that this is all going to come to an end.
Yeah.
The Lord returns.
Little comfort. Well, of course, we won't be here, but
amen.
We'll thank goodness.
All right. Gigi and Randy, are you there by any chance? Huh. Okay.
Well, they had all intentions of staying.
Yeah.
They might have just conked out.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Rita, have you followed me now?
Yeah, I'm keeping up.
Okay.
I have no questions, so.
All right. Now I want to get into Revelation 14. And again, I don't have that down, so I'll just read the scriptures. But we get to Revelation chapter 14, and this is the one where the Lord warns the people not to take the mark of the beast. Hang on here. Here we go. So in Revelation 14, that whole chapter, just like Revelation 11, is about mid-tribulation. And if we get to the three angels in heaven, the first angel is preaching the gospel. Everybody hears it. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people hear the gospel. In fact, it's called the everlasting gospel, preached by an angel in heaven to everyone on the earth. That's to offer them salvation. Then when you get down to verse 8, the angel declares Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, that great city. It's been destroyed. So their kingdom that they follow in Babylon is gone. And then the third angel is declaring to them not to take the mark of the beast. And I'll just read it. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So the rule of the beast is just coming into place here. And he's going to demand that everybody worship him, and the seal of worshiping him will be taking the mark of the beast in their right hand or their forehead. So it's like any day, maybe within hours, he's going to initiate the mark of the beast, and God's warned. So this is mid-tribulation. All of this is taking place mid-tribulation. And God says, and here is patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So the next chapter, 15, you see those that were martyred for Jesus resting in heaven. All right. So that's a good ending to it. But the chapter is all about not taking the mark of the beast and ending up in hell. Now it follows in Revelation 14:14 is about events that are taking place. Actually, you could say during the tribulation period, the second half, but towards the end of the second half. So there's two harvests made. One is a good harvest, and then the second is a bad harvest. When I say bad harvest, it's a judgment harvest. And let me just read it. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat like unto the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee, for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So this here is a harvest of souls that are going to be won to the Lord. Now, it says here in verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle, and on the earth was reaped. Now, here's where the Christ coming. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried aloud to him that had the sharp sickle. These are angels now. Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horse's bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlong. The one that executes the wrath of God in the winepress is Jesus Christ. So, and when we look at this, what happens is, the angels are, this is at Armageddon. The angels are going to gather them into the earth there. Those are that in Armageddon into God's winepress. And they're going to face the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And the blood came out of the winepress even to the horse's bridle. When it says that the winepress was trodden without the city, who does that is Jesus Christ. Because let's look over at Revelation. This whole thing here is Christ coming. The second part is Christ coming. So let's go over to Revelation chapter 19. And let's go to probably it's verse 15. Now Christ is coming. And in verse 11, heaven opened up, and the Lord's coming out, and the armies of heaven are with him, which is us. And we go to verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, this is the Lord, this is the second coming, go a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Where does he smite them? That's Armageddon. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's exactly how Revelation 14 ended. The Revelation 14 ends with the second coming of Jesus Christ in fierce judgment. And his judgment at that time is like a wine press. And trodden the wine press means you walk in it on the grapes. There's two types. There's one with a press and there's one trodden. The trodden is your weight walking in the big vat of grapes, crushes the grapes, and the juice flows out. So keep this in mind. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now let's go back to 14. Okay, let's go to verse 19. And the earth and the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, that's Jerusalem. And blood came out of the winepress, even to the horse's bridle. So what you see in Revelation 14, 19 and 20 there, and is second coming of the Lord. It's his judgment. And what this fits, folks, Revelation 14, 19 and 20, those that are being harvested on the earth here, the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Those are all that have the mark of the beast. Those are all that are gathered at Armageddon to war against God. That's what this is talking about and what's going to happen to them. So with that, hang on here. And I'll end with this. Paula Jean, did you see where Revelation 14 there, like 17, 18, and 19, is about the second coming of Jesus Christ in judgment?
I'm having a problem. So, because I just am having a problem there with 17, 18, and 19. How can all of this be at the same time, mid-trib?
Because it tells you, no, what's all of this? Tell me what you mean by all of this.
Well, including the 17, 18, and 19.
No, 17 and 18 and 19 are not mid-trib.
Well, that's why you would, I mean, you just asked, you just mentioned 17, 18, and 19, and I'm going, tilt. Okay, so there was a reason for me to go tilt. That's all. Thank you. You corrected me. You let me know that I misunderstood what you were saying.
Right. No, now keep in mind, for everybody, keep in mind, what I'm teaching you is the placing of Christ's second coming is like in the middle of things that are happening. But it's not, his coming is not in Revelation 14. That's not when his actual physical coming is. It's a picture of what's going to happen at his coming. Revelation 19 is the, in the book of Revelation, the actual literal physical coming of Jesus Christ is Revelation 19. Revelation 14 is put in there to show what's going to happen for those. It's a horrible time. All those people that take the mark of the beast, they're going to be condemned for hell forever. God's warning them. God gives them the gospel mid-tribulation. He brings to their attention Babylon was just destroyed mid-tribulation. He's warning them, do not take the mark of the beast mid-tribulation, because the mark hasn't been given yet. Obviously, the Antichrist is in power because God's telling the people on the earth, do not take the mark. So the mark might be initiated a day from now, from that time, maybe 6 hours from that time. So God's warning them. So you come down to the end of that chapter, and there's one about a harvest of the believers, And then there's a harvest. The last part is about the wicked who Jesus Christ is going to trodden down the winepress of the fierceness of wrath, the wrath of God. That's his second coming right there.
Okay. Okay.
So again, you see three. Now we see this like three times. The sixth seal, that's not the judgment, sixth seal, Christ coming, doesn't literally take place there. It's a picture for us. God's dispersing his second coming through the book of Revelation because it's not chronological, Sister Paula Jean.
Yeah. I think you were talking about, I mean, I could be wrong, but I thought you were talking about Revelation, the different books that I said to you. And you may have just been talking about the verses within a chapter in Revelation. And I misinterpreted.
Okay. As long as you understand the way I described it and showed you in Revelation chapter 14 about the vine of the grapes being put into the vat and it being trodden
right
down. Do you see that that's the second coming?
Well, it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you see, it's not placed at the end. It's placed
in
the, that's right. So there's a reason for it. God placed the second coming of Jesus Christ right while the devil, the people are being warned about the wrath of God. That's mid-tribulation.
Right. Actually, the warning has to happen before the arrival of Jesus so that they don't do what they are not supposed to do.
The warning takes place mid-tribulation.
Okay. Well, and Jesus' second coming is very close to that, too.
It's 3.5 years.
A process of 3.5 years.
Right. The tribulation period is 7 years long. God's mm-hmm. two prophets reign for 3.5 years and they die. And then the beast comes to power right at that point. He goes into the temple of God declaring he's God. It's 3.5 years. So the two prophets are prophesying for 3.5 years. The beast has authority on earth for 3.5 years. So if God gives them people the warning, do not take the mark of the beast, it's mid-tribulation because the beast, that's when he comes to power. That's we know by settings that this is mid-tribulation. This is, that it's mid-tribulation because the beast has to be in power for God to warn the people on the earth not to take the mark of the beast.
Right. No,
okay.
I'm with you on all of that.
All right. Good. I just want everybody to be clear. That's why I'm taking this time to give you more details. All right, Sister Sharon, with all that I said now, do you see the connection with chapter 14 and at the end Christ is coming?
Yes, and I do understand that I didn't want to say start telling people not to take the mark of the beast.
Yes.
That is like a very, very important time warning. And it's all very interesting.
Okay. So you can see it's not chronological. God is has something else going on. And it's capsulized. He's giving a teaching about mid-tribulation in the book of Revelation, and then at the end of it, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's giving a teaching about the beast killing the two prophets and all that happened, then the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The first five.
So you're saying that God is teaching us this?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a process that he's showing us. Okay, now Sister Sharon, hold on here. I got you. Sister Kathy is not here. But if Gigi is there and Randy, okay. And then Rita.
Yes, I understand, I think.
Okay.
Because it's not the chapters in Revelation is not in the chronological order
right.
that it happens.
Right. Right.
And it starts with chapter 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19, right?
Right. They're about the second coming of the Lord.
Okay. I think I got it.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm happy. Sister Sharon, are you looking at the chat room?
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
Are you watching the chat room by any chance?
Oh yes, yes. I sure am. And the only thing that came up, Christ comes after the second part of the tribulation.
Yes.
So that was a question mark.
Yes. At the end. At the end of the 3.5-year reign of the beast, Christ returns.
Okay.
And that's why mid-tribulation is so important, because we can figure out what's happening before the beast comes to power and then what happens after he comes to power. But none the same, God, all through these not all through every chapter, but through these chapters, he has the second coming of Jesus Christ in there. So he's bringing us back to focusing on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this is. That's why there's these teachings that are in there about the seals judgment, the trumpet judgments, the thunders, the turn it down, the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of God. That's so we're focusing on the Lord and not all that other stuff that's happening in there.
It's interesting. It really is.
Okay. Well, look, I'm in the red here. Are they following me in, see, there we go again.
In Rumble? We have like 14 people.
Yeah, well, I'm in the red, but it says I'm streaming yellow.
Okay, yeah, you are.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I did mention, I'll just show it to you a little bit here about what happened in Pakistan. Now, where is that? Yeah, here it is. I'll show it to you, and I'd like to get a better copy of it. You'll see what I mean. There's a lot of background noise at a certain part, but it's very interesting what's being said. So here, I'll bring it over so you can see it.
खबर शामिल करते हैं गुजरांवाला फ्रांसिस अबाद से हमारे A1 News के स्पेशल रिपोर्टर शहजाद मसीह.
Now this is the newspaper or the media report of the event, and they're telling people about it, and that politicians were at it and top Christian leaders were there, like a bishop, and they mentioned the leaders' names, and then they mentioned that I'm speaking. If you follow on the right hand corner, there's going to be a picture of me coming up on the computer screen.
Jiske guest speaker janab Pastor John Matron, Pastor Aslam Gill sahab.
That's me on the right hand corner there. Now, there's rooms all around this. There was about 1,000 people altogether there. So this is the main room where I was speaking. But this was some sort of a banquet hall or a auditorium, big auditorium, some sort. That man there with the purple, he's the Catholic bishop, and he's going to come on. I don't know if you can hear him with the background noise.
Chaplain.
Yes.
There was something wrong with the computer. My cell phone, my battery died. It's probably about to die right now. But Twizzle asked the question. And posed a question, and she didn't get to hear the answer because of the blank. The computer was stuttering sort of. So, and then she wanted to know, so now are we done with Revelation?
Yes.
For tonight, I guess.
Yeah, but if she has a question outstanding, sure.
Well, she didn't hear the response you gave to when Sharon asked that question.
Okay. Sharon, do you remember what the question was?
Well, I can read it. It says, okay. Christ comes after the second part of the tribulation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Right. So that was it, Twizzle. So if she has anything else, I'll let you know. But my battery on this phone crashed, and so I had to just let everybody know on that. But now all that's showing up on my computer is a black screen. And, Nana Debbie's did, and she refreshed, but I had just refreshed. So anyway, I'm going to hang up. There you are. Nope. Okay. I'll see y'all later.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, bye.
All right. If you're following me, if you can see this, if not, I'll just stop, maybe play music. But this is a national newspaper in Pakistan, and they wrote it up basically because there was politicians there and church leaders. This is a big deal. So this is their writing up. It's written in Urdu. They're writing up the event that you just saw the video, the news video of it. Now, try and listen hard to this. This is a pastor, and he's saying how blessed he was by the event and wants us to come back and have more, like, more meetings.
Pastor Michael Sleen from Dhaka City. So he wanted to share some very blessed comments regarding this conference.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that today I attended this seminar. And I'm telling you, this is the really need of Pakistan. Because now these days people have a lot of fears in their lives. But that kind of sermon, that kind of teaching, remove all kind of fear. And we get strong and it will...
Okay. In case you're having trouble, what he's saying is he's commenting about my teaching there, and he said that the teaching removes all fear from the believers. He's really excited about it. All fear is taken out of the believers by the way I taught on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
It'll enable us to preach Christ who is living, and still we are...
This enables us to preach Christ.
In his coming. So may God bless you, and we are expecting a big crusade, a big this kind of teaching, and a big skill. So we are praying.
Okay, he's saying he expects the type of teaching he heard on a big scale, he wants another event in the Islamabad on a big scale.
For you, for your team, you have a lovely friend in Pakistan. He's very brave man, and that's why in the whole country he spread the good news with you. I saw so many posts about your teaching and a work in the Sindh area, in the Faisalabad, Punjab. So I will be pleased, and the nation of Pakistan will be pleased if you join us, if you came here for a big event. May God bless.
Okay, he's inviting me to come to Pakistan for a big event, and he wants this teaching to spread all over.
Amen. Okay, so here's another question, Brother John. So please tell me, you take from me different kind of the brochures.
Uh-huh.
There is one about the Jerusalem, and second is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So you will see, and I will be giving you a little bit, much amount of the brochures.
Yeah.
So that tomorrow, you're going to be blessed with your church into this brochure. So what do you think about this brochure, Little Chimitri?
I'm excused because he didn't give me, I asked him to give me. Because I found that it is very precious teachings.
Yes.
Yeah, even in the Urdu language, it's quite easy for everyone to read it out. So,
okay, they're talking about the brochures, in case you have trouble hearing that. And they're talking about the Blessed Hope brochure. And he says it's easy to read in Urdu. And he took all the brochures from Jamil. Jamil had kept some, but Jamil ended up giving him all the brochures.
I asked him, please give me, because I want to spread it. It's a good use. It's a good thing. So may God bless him, because he did wonderful work. He translated very well, and I hope I will get more literature from him.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, my blood brother. May God bless you, Brother John. God bless you.
Blessing and strong. All right, this is the Catholic priest, and he might be hard to hear, but they have a big event in May with 20,000 Catholics, and he wants me to come and preach the same message. Yeah, I can't hear it. I don't know. Paula Jean, can you hear the priest talking?
No, I can't. I see him there, but his mouth isn't moving, so I might have a frozen screen.
All right. Sister Sharon, could you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear them talk. Not that I understand what he's saying, but I can hear the voices.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let that go, because it's too hard to hear the background noise. I asked Jamil if he could filter out that background noise, because they have a lot of technical equipment. And then these are pastors that don't speak English. He's speaking in Urdu, and I asked Jamil to translate it for us so we can understand it. He's giving testimony about the meeting. This is another pastor. He speaks in Urdu. All right, now this is the beginning of me speaking.
So I'm going to focus on Peter and give you a big picture of him as a disciple. Because the big picture of him as a disciple is very, very important. The ministry of Jesus Christ was for 3.5 years. Peter was with the Lord the entire time. The Lord had 12 disciples and 3 inner disciples.
All right. There we go. We're almost out of time, folks. So that was Pakistan 2 Saturdays ago. And it went really, really good. Sunday, I was in Kenya. That went really, really good. Small church. It was about 50 to 70 people there. And at the end, I gave a call to have hearts healed to come forward. And the whole church, everybody came. And they wanted to be prayed over. So exciting things are happening. And let me get back over here. So we're going to call it a night now. And we got time for one song. So, Paula Jean, do you have a song that you would like?
Something that's coming up to me, I wasn't thinking about it. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. I don't know if that's the name of the song or not, but maybe you can find it.
No.
Okay. You pick it or have Sharon pick it. That's good.
All right. Sharon?
Rita, if she's still.
Oh, my goodness. How about Our Father by Don Moon?
That's great.
Okay. Our Father by, yep, we got it.
Yeah.
Right, God bless everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, Lord willing.
Yeah. Amen.
Sounds good.
Wow, this song is up to 35 million views. Wow. All right, let's get this set up. Give me a moment to get it set up here. Here we go.
Hearts and remove anything that we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today. Yes, we do. Hear us as we pray.
Sing it, our Father.
Okay, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today. We